I wonder if you've ever thought about how you will enter heaven. I wonder if you've ever thought about what foundation your hope of entry into heaven, what that actually is, what your foundation is for that hope.
A narrow gate.
That is true. It is a narrow gate. So how will you enter through it? That's the question. That's the question that I'm asking.
I'll stand there, and Jesus will say to me, "You're one of mine. You're welcome in. Come in."
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because he will, you know, if we're his, he will welcome us because he knows us. He'll welcome us by name because he knows us, won't he? Peter, in this passage, in verse 11, talks to us about, "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly." Peter is talking about a glorious entry into heaven. And so I wonder whether or not if we've ever had a thought about exactly what our entry through that narrow gate will be. If we've ever had a thought about exactly what that will look like. Will you limp into heaven? Rather like that old galleon, limping back into harbour. It's holed beneath the waterline. It's taking on water, all hands on deck, trying to pump out any water that's there. Its sails and its mast are in ribbons and in tatters, and it's limping in. It's broken, but it's getting there, little bit by little bit. But it is home. Maybe that's how you feel. You'll enter into heaven. Maybe it'll be a glorious entry. Maybe it'll be like a galleon coming into harbour. Its sails full. Its rigging all in one piece. Its flags flying, glorious and strong, bold, looking excellent in every part. And those on the quayside waiting and wondering and glorying in its coming home. Because that's the picture that Peter actually paints in verse 11. That there is going to be an abundant entrance. An entrance that is glorious. See, Peter wants to see every Christian coming home to be like the latter. He wants every Christian to come home like that galleon in full sail. He wants every Christian to come home abundantly. He wants every Christian to get home. Yes, he knows that there'll be limping believers that creep home. But in this book, in this letter of Peter, it is the manner of the homecoming that so stirs Peter up. He's coming towards the end of his life. He knows it won't be long for him to depart this world. And so, he's full of this urgency for the believers. This is Peter, the one who denied Jesus 3 times. This is the Peter who was recommissioned to feed the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, at the end of his life, this is Peter, whose only care is that the flock come home. And that they come home well. And he wants each of us to live lives to the fullest extent, so that our homecoming is one of glory and praise, not to us, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that he gets all the glory as we come home. And to be really effective for the Lord, the believer needs to live a life that is full in Jesus himself. And to do so, we need to know what the basics are of the Christian life. And we must not forget them. And that is the contention of the first part of Peter's letter. Peter is urgent in his message because he's facing imminent death. And with death just around the corner, Peter wants to focus your attention and my attention on what he wants believers to remember. The verses that we are looking at tonight, verses 12 down to 15, they connect what has gone before them with what will follow after. Peter knows that the believers are facing false teaching. He knows that they are facing error and they're going to face very real threats to their faith. And so he wants to equip them. He wants them to stand ready that they might be able to handle this error. And so he's urging these people not to forget the basics of living a godly life. Because a godly life increases knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ultimately it leads to a glorious entry into the everlasting kingdom of Jesus. And so we've got three things to look at. First of all, that forgetting leads to danger. And we're going to trace some of the dangers that Peter traces in this letter. Then we're going to have a look at what he wants us to remember, because he talks about these things. So we're going to have a look at what they are. And finally, we're going to look at the motivation. What is the final outcome? What is going to motivate us to remember? So let's have a look at forgetting, because forgetting leads to danger. And he's concerned on a number of fronts. And as you read through the letter, and we'll touch on them briefly, he's concerned that the Christian's faith is not rocked. Ultimately, he wants every single believer to be aware of Jesus and to walk consciously with him. So he wants you and I tonight to be aware of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk in the light of that presence of the Lord Jesus Christ every single day. Because if we don't walk with Jesus, we forget him. We forget him and we forget the evidence and the virtues of living a godly life. The evidence and the virtues of living a godly life are degraded, and so our eyes are taken off the Lord Jesus Christ. Our desire to live for him is reduced, and we are less like him. If we are less like the Lord Jesus Christ, we are less effective in our Christian life and in our Christian walk. This then knocks our assurance. We become uncertain of God's love for us. And then uncertain of our place in heaven. And heaven is the place where we share the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. As brothers and sisters who have been saved by his precious blood, we never want to forget the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We never want to be uncertain of our place in heaven. We never want to doubt God's love for us. We don't want to doubt whether or not we're his. So let's walk with him. Forgetting isn't always total, is it? It is usually simply a lessening of our awareness. That's where it starts. Beware the dangers of forgetting. Peter knows that these believers are firmly established in the truth. He says that in verse 12. He knows that they're firmly established in the truth, so he's seeking to stir them up so that their roots are strengthened. And one of the changes that Peter's identifying, that the false teachers are peddling, is that, or rather, one of the things that Peter is seeking to stir up is the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that then, when these changes that the false teachers are peddling are brought to their consciousness, they're aware that they're teaching error. And to know, for us to know that we're being taught error, we need to be consciously rooted in, feeding on, and living with Jesus himself. Because we can have a very persuasive speaker. We can listen to very well put together clips on YouTube. And we can be sucked in to a false way of teaching. But if we are consciously rooted, feeding in, and living with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is easier to spot these errors and these dangers. Failure to do so leaves us weak against their claims. Beware the dangers of forgetting. If our focus is Jesus Christ himself, and false teachers' focus is not on him, then it is more apparent to us, and we are protected from their heresy. This is Peter's urgent desire as he faces his final days, that believers won't have their heads turned, won't be swept away and unprotected from the error. And the way he highlights for us to do that is to focus instead on the Saviour. beware the dangers of forgetting. Theirs was and is another gospel. In verses 16 to 20 of chapter 1, we see them challenging truth and undermining the words of the apostles. Beware the dangers of forgetting. Theirs was another gospel. In chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, we see that these false teachers are denying the final judgment. They're encouraging a sensual, amoral lifestyle and living under the guise of freedom in Christ, because the reality is they don't believe in a final judgment. Beware the dangers of forgetting. Theirs was another gospel. In chapter 3, Peter, in verses 1 to 4, tells us that they're even questioning whether or not the Lord will return. Beware the dangers of forgetting. Peter wants the people to have a firm foundation in Christ alone. And then building on that firm foundation, Peter wants his people to walk with sure and purposeful steps. And in doing so, they can shake off the challenge to the Word of God. Their lives would reflect the Saviour, and therefore the amoral lives of their false leaders and false teachers would be exposed. Living in the light of glory would give them such a sense of the imminence of the Saviour, would combat the doubts of his coming again. Beware the dangers of forgetting that Jesus is to be first in our heart, first in our minds, first in our whole being, first in everything that we have. To forget this leaves us open to the attack, both subtle and obvious, of the evil one. So we know the reason why Peter wants us to have a foundation that is secured in Jesus. Because he doesn't want us to forget it. He wants us to walk with sure and purposeful steps. He wants us ultimately to have an abundant entrance into heaven. So what is this foundation that he's seeking for us to remember? What is it that we are to remember? We are to remember the basics of the Christian life. To begin with, it's the gospel. John 3:16, 17 tells us this: that for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He wants us to share in the divine nature that he mentioned in verse 4, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this faith is personal, as we see in verse 18 of John chapter 3. It says this: he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Salvation comes through faith in the Son of God. Salvation comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the starting point of the foundation that Peter has given us in chapter 1. And then to this faith, he wants us to add virtue or goodness. A moral character is one of the witnesses to a life that is changed by relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have had a relationship, if you are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be the same as you were before. You have to add to that faith in him virtue, goodness, a moral and upright life. And then Peter goes on to tell us to add to this virtue — this is verse 5, by the way, of chapter 1, to add to this virtue knowledge. That as this relationship with Jesus grows, it deepens. And so the knowledge of Jesus increases. And faith is strengthened, and that moral character with it. And then to this knowledge, to add self-control. This increased knowledge leads to self-control. Excess in all its forms is hard to justify when contemplating a suffering Saviour. When contemplating all that he has done on the cross in order to save you from your sins, how can we live a life of excess? And then to this self-control, we're to add perseverance. This perseverance almost grows from the self-controlled life lived with Jesus. And as the storms of life rage and batter us, so confidence in the Saviour grows. As we go through the ups and downs in life, walking with him, walking with each other, so this grows. And we add to perseverance godliness. To this reliance and resilience in the Saviour, a godliness is seen and is known. The believer turns to Jesus in all situations. And to this godliness comes a brotherly kindness. Because when we in the church see our brothers and our sisters having hard times and walking through difficult things, and yet having an unshakable faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and carrying on walking with him and living with him, it's encouraging and it builds each other up. And so we add to this perseverance, brotherly kindness, brotherly love. It's seen among the people of God as they journey together through the storms of life. And then as a community, as a people, we add to mutual affection, we add to this brotherly kindness, love. It's the crowning virtue. A community of loving Christians, loving each other, walking with each other in difficulties, in joys and in sorrows. A community of Christians doing just that naturally overflows with the grace of God. And then the crowning basic of the Christian life is love. It is love for their God. It is love for the family of their God. And they love the lost who are far from their Creator God. For the Christian faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love combine to increase assurance. Without them, Peter tells us, Christians are short-sighted to the point of total blindness. They stumble in the Christian walk. Without them, they shamble along like that galleon holed beneath the waterline. And they limp into the safe harbour of heaven. But the Christian who is growing in these virtues is like that galleon coming into harbour strong and victorious, whose homecoming is greeted with joy. And Peter wants these things fresh in our memory. He wants them fresh in your memory. He wants the believers who remember all these things to remember all these things once he has departed. Peter has left the disciples of Jesus with things to strive for, with the actions to implement. But we need a reason to do so, don't we? Otherwise it simply becomes high-minded religion and dead legalism. So in verse 11, Peter has highlighted the goal of his reminder. It is this rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. And this is why he wants to refresh their memory. And this is why I want to refresh your memory tonight. Let's have a look at the goal that he's setting for these believers. The Olympic cycle happens once every 4 years. I feel a little bit inadequate talking about Olympic cycles, but I didn't know who was going to be here tonight. But in four-year cycles, an Olympic athlete trains. They set their goal 4 years down the line. Maybe it's 8 years, maybe it's 12 years. But everything is set up for the goal of winning a medal at the Olympic Games. They train in a particular way. They enter competitions in a certain way so that they can accrue the right points in the right level of time, but also so that they can improve their personal best so they might peak at the point of the Olympics. And so the final goal for an Olympian is the next Olympic Games. And everything is tailored with that in mind as they build steadily towards it. And Peter is expecting exactly the same of you and of me. We are not the finished article. But instead, he presents us with a goal to fix our minds upon. And that goal is this rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Saviour, of our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to have a rich welcome into glory. Is this your goal? Is it your goal? Is it your aim in the Christian life? Is this the prize that you seek? That as you come to heaven, you will enter heaven with choirs singing the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ, with fellow saints worshipping your dear Saviour, because it's all praise to him and all glory to him. Is your goal a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of your Saviour? Have you ever stopped to think about it? Is it my goal? If it isn't your aim as a Christian, then can I suggest that it perhaps should be? That as we think about it, that actually our goal should be that as we finally get to heaven, the praise is all to Jesus' name. Jesus is the prize. And so his glory should be our goal. So then the next question is this. Is your foundation, is your basic Christian life heading towards this goal? Are the regimes that you've got in place, the way that you live your life, is it with Jesus that you are working towards and heading towards this goal, the prize of this glorious entry into heaven, so that he might have the praise? Peter wants us to orientate our lives in such a way. And he wants us to set our eyes on the prize, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to set our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and see him crucified. Because we won't get to heaven without a crucified Saviour. He wants us to set our eyes on the prize, on the Lord Jesus Christ, to see him dead and buried. He wants us to set our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Death could not hold him. While it might hold you and me, it could not hold him. And so Peter wants you and me to set our eyes on the prize of a risen Saviour. To see him alive, to see him glorified forevermore. So that when we reach heaven's gates, when we get towards that harbour, it is him we see, having interceded for you, standing at the right hand of Almighty God. If you set your eyes on him this evening, will you walk with him? We thought this morning about what our trust was in. Will we walk with him, trust him? Will our lives be governed and shepherded and guided by him? Will we talk with him? Will we live like him? Become more like him as we do so? Will we walk ever forward, ready to enter heaven to be with him boldly? Don't be discouraged by comparing your walk to others. Simply gaze on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the fairest of 10,000. Live with him. Live for him alone. Salvation is not in any other believer, but it is on Christ alone. And that is where all our hopes must be. As we come to that narrow gate, it must be Jesus Christ. and him alone. Well, brothers and sisters, is he your goal tonight? Is he your prize? Is his glory what awaits you as you enter heaven? How will you enter heaven? Just remind you of those two ships. One might have been limping along. One might have been coming in full sail. But they're both home safe. And that's all to the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Peter is memorialising his teaching for prosperity. Posterity, and for the well-being of the church. And so he wants us to beware of the dangers of forgetting that Jesus has the first place. He wants us to remember to live for Jesus. And he's given us a list of virtues that we are to add to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the prize. His glory is the goal. That we might have a rich welcome into heaven when we go home to be with Jesus forevermore. Peter wants us to remember these things. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, mighty and eternal Lord God, we pray that you would help us not to forget. Help us, Lord, not to forget the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to walk with him. Lord, lead us and guide us, that our life might reflect you more. And we pray, Lord, that as we enter into heaven, we pray that all the praise and all the glory and all the honour would go to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who came and died in our room, place instead. We pray that you might have all the glory for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing our final hymn this evening. It's "How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord."
Faith in his excellence.
Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. O Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us the endurance and the perseverance to walk with you till the end, that you might have all the glory when we come home to be with you. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Thank you.